During his first missionary trip, is that better?
Yeah.
During his first mission trip, he stopped off in the region of Galatia. And the inhabitants of Galatia was mostly Gentiles. So we all know the difference between Gentiles and Jews, right? Pretty much. All right. Now, there are some Jews in that region because we find out that they're mostly had synagogues in the towns. So the synagogues are where the Jewish people meet. And if they didn't have a synagogue, there would be a specific place they would meet. Now, typically, Paul would always go to the synagogue first. He'd go to the synagogue, he'd talk to the Jews, and he'd preach there, and then the next day, he would preach to the Gentiles. Now, somewhere along the missionary trip, he kind of changed that order. He changed that order, and he began to be more focused on reaching out to the Gentiles. You know, and it was working. It was working really well. He was saving a lot of people in Galatia. You know, so much that he could plant a church, and then that it would stand strong, you know, and keep going. Because if you just get one person to believe, you know, can you really plant a church? Not really, right? You have to have multiple people. So he was doing good. And then we come to this point, and why this letter was written, is that they faced a threat. A group of men saying that they were Christians came to town, right? They came to town, and they started preaching a different gospel than Paul. You know, they started saying that you had to keep the old laws. You had to keep the traditions, the customs. You had to be circumcised just as the Jews did in order to be saved. You know, and they were making headway. They were actually getting people, convincing people that, yeah, we need to do certain things other than believe in Jesus in order to be saved. And then we'll pick it up in Galatians chapter 4, 8 through 9. Jesse, can you read that? So before Paul went to Galatia, the Galatians were under a system of works. You know, we figured out that everybody's basically under a system of work because so if you feel like in order to be good, you have to do good things. That's what a system of work tells you. Now, it wasn't the laws just like the Jewish people or the laws of the Jews, but still, it was a system of works. Then Paul introduced Jesus to them, right? And then they saw and felt the freedom that their Savior can give them. The freedom from the system of works. Now, they became to know Jesus, not only know him, but been known by God. Now, there's a difference. Do you guys know the difference? Right? To know about Jesus or to be known by God. Mm-hmm. She has her mouth full.
But okay, to know God, you can like know of him, but like to be known by God, you have to like believe in him.
Right. So we can read about Jesus. Doesn't really mean we believe in Jesus. Right? So there's a difference. And in believing in Jesus, that's that relationship, that personal relationship between you guys and God. Right? So that's what they were getting. And then it says beggarly. We use beggarly all the time, right? I know you guys do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, text it to your friends, beggarly. No, the only reason I say this is because I know there's certain words, you know, at least for me, it's like, I don't know what that really means. But it means pitiful or deplorable, so bad. We can get that idea that it's bad, but that's what beggarly means. Now, Paul here, he's kind of amazed. He's amazed that they received this freedom. You know, they received Jesus, and they had this feeling of freedom, but yet the Galatians were willing to give that up and go back. So they're going backwards, right? They're going back to a system that puts them in chains back on them. They're going back to a system where you have to do works. You know, you're not saved by grace, but by works. Something that's kind of held over you in that you would have to perform. That's what a system of works does. So it kind of puts that burden on us. Galatians 4, 10 and 11. Cares.
You observe days and months and seasons of years. I am afraid for you less, and I have labored for you in vain.
All right, so observe days, months, seasons, and years. So there are several religions that place certain days need to be remained holy. Now, as Christians, we have similar things, but you know, there are some religions where very strict about things. Now, the Sabbath, you know, has been debated for centuries. Do we all know what the Sabbath means? Anybody want to explain? Yeah?
The day of rest.
The day of rest. So it's the day, let's say the Jews had the specific day when they wanted to worship, right? Or go to church. If you want to put it to basic terms, it was their Sabbath, their day of rest, or a day to worship God. Now, like I said, this has been debated for many centuries. Now, keeping the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath is originally Saturday. Right? I don't know if you guys known that. And there are those who will teach that if you go to church on any other day than Saturday, that you're basically unknowingly taking the mark of the beast. Because you're worshiping on the wrong day and not doing what God told you to do. Now, from what I've researched, and you can do your own research, I always like you guys do your own research, but so the Jews worshipped on Saturday. That's why the Sabbath is technically Saturday, right? The early Christians met on Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the grave. You know, 3 days after Good Friday, so that's Sunday. Jesus rose from the grave, and that's why they kind of started worshiping or meeting on Sunday. Now, what I think Paul's point really is, it's not about Saturday or Sunday. His point is, how many days of the week can we worship God? How many days of the week can you worship God? Every day, right? 7 days, right? You could worship God. Do we need to wait for a certain day to talk to God? No. No, we don't. We could talk to God any day of the week, right? And if we have the Holy Spirit in our heart, shouldn't we thank God every day or just one day a week? We should thank God every day, shouldn't we? Now, and then if we're tied to a certain day, if we're tied to one certain day, or one festival, or Christmas, if you will, but if we miss that, are we doomed? Or we're not doomed, right? You know, Paul isn't saying that it's wrong to make our worship on the same day of the week. He's not saying, oh, it's wrong if you do it here or do it there. He's saying that if you have to, if you make it that you have to worship on that certain day, or if you have to observe this certain time, then it becomes works. And it's not free gift, it's on our power. Matthew 12, 1 and 2, Kaylee?
At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, you disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.
All right, so the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. You're not supposed to do anything. So he sees the disciples and they're like, what? They're working. They're harvesting. And then Matthew 12, 9 and 10. Cassia.
Now when he had departed from there, he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?
So again, well, we'll find out, if you read Matthew, you find out that Jesus did heal that man. He did heal many people. But again, is that work or not? So they were trying to accuse him. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law because he never broke the law. Yes?
I think it's funny that, like, the Pharisees were literally getting upset at the disciples for being hungry.
Right, right, exactly. It's like, no, your food should have already been prepared for you. The Pharisees kept on trying to accuse Jesus, trying to trap him, but the Pharisees were looking at the law before they were looking at God. You know, they were so focused on the law that it put that burden on them that they couldn't see common sense, if you will. Common sense in God. A good example of this is John Wesley. You might be thinking, who? And I imagine you guys never even heard of John Wesley, but he's an old time, when I say old, I mean old, old time, pastor, you know, man of God, what led many people to God. Now, he was a son of a preacher. He was a preacher himself. He was orthodox in his belief. So orthodox is really strict, you know, keeping to all the traditions, customs. So as I'd like to explain, very strict kind of religion. But that's who he was. Faithful in his morals, full of good works. He ministered in prisons, you know, in sweatshops, in slums. He gave food, clothes, and education to the kids in the slums. He observed both Saturday and Sunday as the Sabbath. And then he did a missionary trip, and this is how old he is. He sailed from England to the American colonies, meaning we weren't a country yet. He studied the Bible, he prayed, he fasted, and he gave regularly. Now, he did all this before he put his trust in Jesus. John Wesley trusted in what he could do to make himself right before God instead of what Jesus had already done for him. You know, he came to put the trust into the one what saved him. And afterwards, he had this to say about his past deeds, is that I had even then the faith of a servant, though not that of a son. So he felt like, you know, that's what works does. A system works. It's that you're a servant, you're just working. But grace, you know, that faith of grace that Jesus has for us, that's to his family, to his sons and his daughters, to his heirs. That's the kind of faith we should have. Now, Paul was afraid the Galatians would fall back into that same trap. Like I said earlier, some of them are. They're falling to that same trap. They're believing in these guys what came and said, you need to keep these traditions. And if that was the case, if these people, if the Galatians are falling back into the same trap, you know, Paul's labor, his labor of love, would be in vain. You know, all the work that he did was for nothing, because the people just went back to the same system they were before he even met them. Zion, can you read verse 12?
Oh,
Galatians 4, verse 12. So Paul's saying, look at me, right? And a lot of people were like, well, why is he saying, look at me? Shouldn't he be saying, look at Jesus? But I think in here it's a little bit different, is that Paul's saying, look at me, because the people what were listening to this letter, are reading this letter, they no doubtly would have heard who Paul was. So who Paul was, he was a persecutor of Christians, right? We've all heard that Paul was known as Saul, right? He persecuted the church. But why did he persecute the church? Does anybody kind of know? I mean, a rough idea. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but anybody know why he kind of persecuted the church? Because it was a different system than his? Because they didn't keep the customs and traditions of the law that he felt was right. You know, Paul was the poster boy for legalism. Right? He was, oh no, you have to keep this or you're against me. You know, so when Paul got saved, his eyes were open to see that the system of works, it has a dead end. You know, it's not going anywhere. So Paul urged the Galatians to be like him as far as that he was trusting in the law, but now he's not. He's more like them that he's not under the law. He's more like the Gentiles where he's not under the law. But he's saying, yo, don't do this for me. Don't do this for somebody else. Do this for you, because you're not hurting me, you're only end up hurting yourselves. So, I mean, coming to Jesus is something we all need to do. It's an individual, it's an individual choice, it's an individual journey where you guys have to do it. It's not because your parents are saved, because your friends are saved, you know, you have to have that relationship with Jesus. Verses 13 through 16, Galatians 4, 13 through 16. Lexi, no.
I can do it. Does she want to?
Yeah, sure.
You didn't want to, did you?
No. I don't plan these things. I didn't mean for you to get 2 pages. All right, Cassia, go ahead. So we find out some details on Paul's first ministry trip. You know, we find out why he actually stopped in Galatia. And that's because he was physically sick. Right? He had infirmities, and he was physically sick. So Paul puts it as people there would pluck out their eyes and give to him. right? Just because they're being kind. It's not a horror movie or anything like that. But mean, what do you think that's kind of signifying? No wrong answers. They love him, right? They cared for him. So if they plucked out their eyes, meaning their eyes are good. So most people feel like it meant that Paul's eyes, that's where his infirmary was, or his sickness. Something about his eyes. So if you're willing to give up your eyes for somebody else. So they're willing to do that. So if you were willing to do that, that means you're pretty good friends, right? You wouldn't do that just for anybody. So pretty good friends. There was love, you know. Now, Paul could have been, woe is me, my eyesight, right? I can't see, or it hurts. You know, why have you forsaken me, God? You know, Paul could have been that way. But Paul knew that God will use things. Things that we might see, oh man, this is the worst day ever. Right? Oh, everything's bad is happening to me. But God can use those things for great things, for good things. Because Paul stopped, you know, Paul preached the gospel to people that needed to hear it. And because he preached the gospel, people got saved. And because they got saved, people were blessed, and they began to love one another. Love each other so much that they were willing to give up their eyesight for somebody else. You know, and now Paul's like, are you don't view me as an enemy because I tell you the truth? You're willing to give up your eyesight. You know, love fulfills the law. And if they're all about the law right now, where is the love? In Romans 13, verse 8, Jesse? So we're to keep on loving other people. That's something that we're never done with, right? That's why it says that we need to still owe that to other people. You know, that's the only thing we should be owing, is that we always need to give more love. In Galatians 4, verses 17 through 18, Kara? Karis? Okay, being zealous can be tricky. Sometimes zealous people can react before thinking. Anybody has ever met anybody like that? They kind of jump in there before they actually think. Or they think they're so zealous that they could become misguided. Misguided and blind to the truth because they want this so bad, they have to have this. But then Paul also says, zealous, if you're zealous for good things, it's always good. So it can be tricky. So we need to make sure that if we're zealous about something, we need to make sure that it's good, or it's right, or it's truthful. So how would you do that? Any idea? Would you make sure something's true? You look at the Bible. That's awesome. Always look at that. It's about research, right? About looking at things, discovering things, having that journey yourself, as far as you need to figure this out for yourself, right? You need to research. You need to do some work, as far as some homework, and look up some things. In Galatians 4, 19 through 20, Kaylee?
My little children, for whom I labor and birth again until Christ is born.
I would like to be present with you now and to be change my tone, for I have doubts about you.
All right, Paul viewed the Galatians as his kids in the sense that, you know, he labored over them, you know, in a way of, you know, labor pains and birthing, you know, and it's, you know, they're painful, but they're worth it in the end. You know, he said, I did work, you know, and you're like my little kids, my children. Now, Paul wanted two things. He wanted to be present with his kids. And if he wanted, so that means he wanted their company, right? So he loved them. He loved them. He wanted to be with them. But he also wanted to change his tone. And when the change of the tone, so he's correcting them. Don't get this wrong. He's correcting the Galatians when he's writing this letter. So he wanted to change his tone, but some of the Galatians were making bad choices, right? They're making bad choices, and because of that, Paul had doubts in his head. Not doubts that they were good people, it's just doubts that they were making a bad choice or they were going into a trap. And Paul needed to tell them that they were doing something wrong, right? It meant that he cared for them. He cared for them. He didn't want to see them doing bad. The reason he had to tell them is because he loved them. Now, he didn't want to sound mean. He didn't want to yell at anybody. So he wanted to change his tone. He wanted them to do right. But because he loved them, he had to protect them. Even if he had to scold them. Now, John chapter 2, verse 24. Zion, can you read that?
Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abide you in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father.
So hold on to the truth. The truth that you got when you became saved or when you found out about Jesus, hold on to the truth. Hold on to Jesus and trust that he will always and never, ever let you go. Cassia, can you close this in prayer?